As we head back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we've been looking at, and hopefully we've been learning from, the examples of the children of Israel. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed our series downstairs for our adult Sunday school hour of the Feast of Israel and how much of this Old Testament history and heritage really is something that we can draw from and learn from and need to. There are great examples, and then there are, of course, bad examples, which is what we've been covering. But all of these things have been given to us for examples and for learning and for continuing to grow in our own walk in faith with the Lord Jesus. It is because of this that Paul is reminding us of this Old Testament history. It is so that we can learn from it. And it's also why the Holy Spirit is prompting us to reflect not just on their actions, but also on their attitudes and their affections that led them to these actions. Well, we've looked at already here in this chapter, verse 6, where we read, "Now these things were our examples." Again, the Old Testament history that we considered a few weeks ago. "So that," or to the intent, "that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." So even after all of the wonders of God that they had the privilege to experience, they still wandered from God and they still sinned. They still lusted after evil things. In both their attitudes and in their actions. So, as we looked at a few weeks ago, through their example, we learned that we must remain vigilant because we all are still vulnerable to sins as well. And so they are examples to follow. We also looked at, last week in verse 11, how all of these things happened unto them for, again, examples. And they are written for our admonition, our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so we looked at specifically four sins, four sinful events in the life of the children of Israel. And we also considered how God Himself provided a solution and a resolution to those sins that they were in. And through their example, we learned that we need to keep our hearts as well. We need to guard our hearts as well. Or as Paul says there in verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So we need to take heed to ourselves. And so with all of these great lessons and with these examples in mind, is there any hope or is there any help for us when we are tempted to sin against God? Whether it's in our actions or our attitudes or even in our affections and our desires in life. Well, that's what we find here in verse 13. Because there is hope, and there is help with the temptations that we face. There was help, and there was hope for the children of Israel when they faced these temptations. They just didn't go there. They didn't derive their satisfaction in the Lord. And so, what is it that we find to be our help and our hope when we are tempted? Paul says in verse 13, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so we looked at so many different challenges, so many different temptations that they face, and trials even. And then Paul says, it's our common experience as human beings, even as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are still temptations. And we can take some comfort in the fact that there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But here's the greatest source of encouragement: but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with that temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So this morning, we're going to look at the issue of temptation, and how we can deal with temptation properly, so that we don't fall as believers, so that we don't become another illustration like the children of Israel were to us, and so that we won't continue in sin in our own lives as followers of the Lord Jesus. And this verse and others that we'll look at here this morning will provide us with the hope and the help that we need. So just what is this temptation that we find there in verse 13? What is temptation? I think we all know what temptation is. We don't need to look at a direct definition of it because we've all experienced it in our lives. If you are a human being, you've experienced temptation and you've yielded to that temptation and followed through with that temptation and even sinned against God. We continue to be tempted in our lives, even as believers. Temptation, you see, is an attempt to get someone to do wrong, either in attitude or in action. It's something or someone trying to get you to do what's wrong. It's a universal experience of all people in all places and at all times. Not just in our place and our time, but even here in the children of Israel's time. They experienced temptation. And it can even go back much, much earlier. You see, from the very beginning, people have experienced temptation. We find the first temptation facing Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, when the serpent, it says, who was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? He questioned God, and he tempted Eve to question God as well. He says, hath God said, you will not eat of every tree of the garden? That's where temptation starts. And we all know where it ended. Verse 13 of Genesis 3, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and tempted me, and I did eat. She sinned against God, and Adam sinned against God, even as a result of succumbing and yielding to that temptation. It was a willful thing, a willful choice that they had made, even though that temptation was there from the serpent. You see, from then until now, we've all faced, and we all continue to face temptation. And that's why this temptation that we find in verse 13 is so important for us to understand, looking at all the examples in the last few verses, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to handle these temptations in our life? Well, how do most people deal with temptation? We can look around us, and we can even look in us, and we see how temptation is usually dealt with. Most people go along with a temptation. In fact, most people probably don't even see it as a temptation because they don't see the problem as a sin. And there are so many things that people are tempted by and they just go along with it and they're not even bothered by it because they don't see it as a sin. The things that are good they call evil and the things that are evil they call good, and it's not a problem for them. Why would they do that? Well, why would we have done that before we came to know Christ as our Savior? Well, God tells us why. It's because, as He says in Revelation 3:17, they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so all that describes a sinner without Christ, and so temptation is not an issue for them because they live in sin all their life. So how should we deal with and handle with temptation? If the world just goes along with it, should we just follow along with them? If you are a true child of God, we need to recognize temptation when we see it. And He enables us to see temptation when we see it. And that's the difference between the world and the church, between someone who is an unbeliever and someone who is a child of God, is that they'll be able to understand temptation because they realize that the things that are being that they're being tempted by are sin. Sin against the Holy God. And if you're a true child of God, He will enable you to resist that temptation when you experience it. So why is it that we don't have more victory over temptation in our own lives as Christians? Well, the first step is we need to consider whether or not we truly are believers, truly are Christians. Are we, as He describes in Revelation 3:17, still wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Because we'll never be able to go beyond and have victory over these temptations until that occurs in our life. But even still, when we are children of God, it seems like we do too frequently just go along with temptation, like the rest of the world, like Eve did. So how can we triumph over temptation? Well, we need to see a few things to this temptation before we find the solution for that there in verse 13. We need to see, first of all, that there is a strength to temptation. Temptation is strong. It was strong in the life of Eve. It was strong in the life of Adam. It was strong in the life of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And it is strong in our lives as well. Temptation has a strength. We must never underestimate the strength of this temptation. It's like underestimating the weight of something you're about to pick up until it's too late. And you pull something in your back. Just the other day, I was trying to pull up some underlayment in our bathroom. We're going to do some remodeling, and I was trying to do so, and I didn't realize that they had punched a whole bunch of nails and a whole bunch of little staples all over this underlayment. And so as I'm trying to pull it, it looked like it'd be easy to do, until I woke up this morning and I realized it was too late. It's a little painful. It's a little sore and stiff. And that's what happens when we underestimate something. Don't underestimate temptation. Why? Because there's a strength to it. Many people do underestimate it. And then when they face temptation, when you face temptation, you feel its strength and you don't overcome it. Because temptation is so strong. Well, what happens? What happens if we underestimate it? I think that the Bible teaches very clearly if we underestimate it, we will topple under that temptation. If we think that we aren't going to have those problems, what does he say back in verse 12? Let him that thinketh he standeth. And so often we say, well, I don't have this problem. I'm not going to be facing temptation. I'm not going to have these issues like the children of Israel in the first 11 verses. What does he say? Let him that thinks he stands, take heed. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Run to Christ, who's the keep of your castle. Otherwise, you too can fall. You will topple under temptation if you underestimate it. Jesus said in John 8:34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And so we realize that when you commit sin, you are actually serving that sin. And it is a hard taskmaster. And it is something that's hard to get away from and to get over. John says it this way in 1 John 3:8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. In this the children of God are manifest or displayed, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not do righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, we have but one choice if we're not part of God's family through Jesus Christ, and that is sin. And that might be the issue that we're facing. If you're not part of Christ, you belong to sin. And sin belongs to you. That is the natural condition of every human being. But thankfully, we don't have to remain in that condition. Jesus said in John 8:35 that the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you will be free indeed. If you come to the Father through Jesus the Son, you don't have to topple under temptation whenever you face it, but you can triumph over temptation. Why? Because Jesus is the one that sets us free. You know, Brother Steve mentioned about that American pastor in Iran. And even though he may be in prison and in bonds physically, yet he is free spiritually. His heart is free. And he is able to set others free, other prisoners free, if he is able to communicate with them. And so we realize that this sin is the greatest chain of the human condition. It's not just the bonds that you go to if you're found a criminal in whatever land it might be. We need to be released from the chains of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ, who can set us free. And with that and only that do we have any hope and any help to triumph over temptation. Jesus is the only way to successfully deal with temptation. You cannot overcome it by yourself. And even those who have come to know Jesus, even those who are now servants of Christ, when we deal with temptation, we feel like, I can still do this in my own strength, in my own way, but we have to remember that we can't apart from Him. You cannot overcome and triumph over temptation by yourself. You need someone to help, and not just anyone, but the Lord Jesus. God has provided that someone through His only begotten Son. That's the starting point. But maybe that starting point has taken place in your life. But when temptation still feels so strong, what should you do even as a child of God? What should you do? Well, the second thing I think in dealing with this temptation, as we come to the resolution of it there in verse 13, is you need to realize the source of temptation. There is a source to temptation. And in order to successfully, as believers, fight something, you've got to find its source, the source of that temptation. Just like if anyone's going to fight something, they want to find the absolute source. It's like fighting a fire. You know, Greg's interested in becoming working for the fire department. He's probably not going to go out and start, you know, using the hose. He's going to help in other ways. But at a fire department, they often try to strive to find that source of the fire to be able to get rid of that fire. And especially afterwards, they want to find the exact source. They want to know how that fire started so that they might be able to prevent things in the future. Or maybe in dealing with illnesses and cancer. I remember when my dad was facing some symptoms. They took him to the doctor and they were able to pinpoint exactly where his cancer was because that's how they had to fight it. They had to get it at its source before it could spread. Or fighting sin. That's how we have to fight it even as believers. We've got to consider the source of that temptation in order to triumph over that temptation. And the thing we need to remember about the source of temptation is the source is never divine. God is not the source of temptation. James puts it this way in James 1:13. He says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.'" You can't say that. Why? He answers, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man." God doesn't tempt you. God doesn't tempt you. And we've got to understand the source if we're going to overcome this kind of temptation. God never tempts anyone to sin. Now, God does bring testing. And God does bring trials. Often it is for discipline, for nurturing, for chastisement, also to increase faith. But what do we do with those trials? That is what is the difference between a trial and a temptation. I like what an old preacher, Alexander McLaren, once said. He said, "God sends trials. We make them temptations." How does that happen? It's because of that desire, those lusts, as he said there in verse 6. These were written for our examples to the intent that we should not desire and lust and crave after evil things as they also lusted. It's still with our heart. It's a matter of our heart. It's not God that's tempting us to do evil. It is still that old man within us that is still struggling and still flopping about trying to achieve the mastery in our life so that we'll be tempted. See, in order to find the source, you've got to go further. The source is always devilish. It's always devilish. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, in dealing with the relationship between a husband and a wife, Paul wrote how Satan would tempt Christian husbands and wives who do not fulfill one another's needs. Back there in chapter 7, verse 5. Look at that verse. He says, "Defraud ye not." He's talking to Christian husbands and wives in a marriage relationship. He says, "Do not defraud one another of your marital relationship, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency." So even back there in chapter 7, we see that the devil can tempt believers. And if we're not fulfilling our responsibilities as husbands and wives toward each other and to fulfill those satisfactions and those desires that we have, he says there that the devil himself can tempt us to do evil. So it's always devilish. It's never God. Paul also wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." That word and that name, tempter, is another description of the devil himself. He can and does tempt us as believers to sin. Now, he doesn't cause us to sin, but he does and can tempt us to sin. And sometimes he can do this directly. He may not do that to us directly, but remember when the devil met Jesus there in the wilderness? He tempted Jesus directly. But so often we're tempted indirectly. The devil often uses things that he knows will draw us and our desires away from Christ. What are some of those desires? You see, the devil understands our devices. He understands who we are. We need to understand his devices and who he is. You see, he has known human beings and human nature for a long time. And he knows what he can use to indirectly tempt us to be drawn away from the Lord. He often uses the world. Remember the world? The world is the people that are blindly following these temptations because they don't see it as a temptation. They don't see the problem as a sin. And so too often, the world influences us to follow along these temptations as well. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare." He's even talking about Christians that might be rich. And even that wealth can cause a snare and a temptation to them. And he says, "And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction." And in 1 John 2:15, John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so we consider those things, we need to realize that so often the devil himself is using the world. and using the things that are in the world to draw us away from Christ, to tempt us to sin in either our attitudes or our actions or even our affections, so that we become the castaways that Paul was striving not to be there in verse 27. He said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be useless in the service of God. But the devil knows too well that the world is alluring to us. And he can use the world to tempt us. But it's not just the world, but it's even still through our own flesh that we are often tempted. James says this again, James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. His desire, his own desire, his own craving, his own lust. Again, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We looked last week, what was the cause of every one of the sins that they committed? It was their lust. It was their desire. And sometimes it was just for simple things like water and bread or meat even. But it wasn't so much the content. It wasn't so much the water and the bread and the meat. It was the desire behind it. They wanted to be provided for, but not in the way that God would do so. Their belly became their gods. And they wanted more to satisfy themselves than to satisfy and glory God and glorify God. And so we need to understand that every time we're tempted, it ultimately is because of our own lusts. That's why we need to guard our hearts. That's why we need to take heed lest we fall, he said there in verse 12. So what can we do? When you see the strength of temptation, and you know the source of temptation, it's never divine, it's always devilish. What can we do by the grace and the strength of God? What do we do? Well, James says, first of all, you need to resist. By the strength and the power and the grace of God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If the source is devilish, you've got to resist the devil. You resist the devil, and then you reject the world and what it offers. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love just the food and the bread and the water of this world. Love Christ. Love Him and the source of all the blessings that we have. Resist the devil. Reject the world. And refuse the lust and the desires of your flesh. Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his own cross daily and follow me. We've got to deny ourselves, resist, reject, refuse. But then it goes further. We need to have a sensitivity to temptation. We need to have a sensitivity to temptation. If we know we have a wound or an injury, we're sensitive to that, aren't we? We're sensitive to it, and we try to protect it as much as possible. A great illustration of this was one of the playoff games just the other week. When RG3 in the Washington Redskins, he had an injury, didn't he, on his knee. And you could tell that he had an injury on his knee. Why? Because he was sensitive to that knee. And he was favoring the other knee. And what did it cause? What problem did it cause him? Not just the pain in the knee, but the pain for all of the Redskin nation. Because he lost the game because of that knee. And so we need to have a sensitivity, not to our injuries, but to our proneness to temptation and even to sin. Again, verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So if we want to triumph over temptation, we must not be proud, thinking that we're above it all. Instead, we need to recognize our own weakness and to resist that own weakness. There's a story of the Red Baron in World War II who did not have a sensitivity to his own problem. He was a German ace. He had shot down 80 enemy aircraft. He was eager to get his 81st. He flew, as one writer says, too long, too fast, and too far, and too low into enemy territory. And he was shot down and killed. You see, we must never voluntarily and purposely go into enemy territory. When we know that the temptations are strong, we know that the devil knows us pretty well, and he's going to try to draw us away, what must we do? Be sensitive to that temptation. We must be sensitive to our own weakness and our own failures and our own nature. Is there a recognition of your own weakness? Paul writes in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Paul says here in verse 12, take heed to yourself. He said in Galatians 6:1, consider yourself. David said in the Psalm, search me, O God, and know my heart. We need to examine ourselves and consider the kind of heart that we have. Are we truly following after the Lord? Are there temptations that we are susceptible to, that we are flying too long, too far, and too low into that enemy territory? What are the things that are drawing us away from Christ and His service? Is there a resistance to that weakness? Are you resisting? Are you resisting that temptation? Through, again, the power of God? Are you spending time in prayer to God? Are you reading His Word for verses that apply to those temptations that we are drawn to? If you are resisting, what kind of resistance is there? The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12:4 gave an interesting verse to the people he's writing to, and he says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Sometimes we wonder, well, why do I yield to these temptations? Why do I commit these sins? And we do have that guilt. And we ought to go to God every day for that type of cleansing, forgiveness that we need. Well, sometimes we wonder, what can I do? Or I've done this and I've done that. Well, have we resisted unto blood yet, striving against sin? Well, who has? Who has? Who resisted unto blood, striving for our sin? The Lord Jesus. And so we must always remember Him and rely upon Him and rest in Him. And that's why we find in verse 13 that great solution for that temptation. That way of escape, which we'll look at here in just a moment. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, there are times, though, that we do need to take some serious steps in dealing with temptation. If God opens our eyes and sees these issues, to see these issues, we need to deal with them. Jesus said in Mark 9:43, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. We need to see the seriousness of sin and the seriousness of temptation. Is it serious to you as it is to God? But then, is there a reliance in your weakness? We are weak, but we need to remember and rely upon the fact that we are not in this alone. Peter says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Isn't that a wonderful hope? The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He doesn't send you the temptation, but He sure knows how to deliver you from that temptation and to bring you to that point of escape. You need to go to Him and trust in Him for that. And that leads us to verse 13 again. There is a solution for temptation. In each of the four sins, four specific sins that we looked at last week, we looked at the risk to those sins. The risk of being an idolater in verse 7. The risk to being a fornicator in verse 8. The risk to tempting Christ by not trusting in Him and His work in verse 9. The temptation of murmuring and complaining that we are often succumbed to there in verse 10. We saw the risk to that. That's why He says, don't do this. Don't lust like they lusted. Because we can succumb to these temptations. We also saw the result of each one of those sins. We saw how in verse 7 that they were idolaters. In verse 8, how God punished them, and in one day, 23,000 people of them fell. The result of their sin of tempting Christ, many of them were destroyed of serpents in verse 9. The result of their sin of murmuring and complaining in verse 10 is that many were destroyed of the destroyer. We saw all of these things about that sin. But when we look back at those passages, we saw that God had provided a solution for them in their sin. Remember, as the fiery poisonous snakes were biting because of their sin, what did God provide? He provided a serpent, a brazen serpent on a pole, and all they had to do was to look and live. When the plague had come and overcome the people, Aaron took a censer and ran out as quickly as he possibly could, and the plague was stayed, and he stood between the dead and the living. God always provided a resolution and a solution for them in their sin, and he does for us as well. There is a solution for this temptation that is so strong to us. And that's why he says again in verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Just like God was faithful to the children of Israel when they were idolaters, when they committed fornication, when they tempted him, when they murmured and complained against him, just like God was faithful to them, he is still faithful to us. He will not suffer you or permit and allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, Christ Jesus is our solution in temptation. The way to escape is Christ and his cross. Because of Christ, we can have peace even in the middle of that temptation. So often those temptations that come are strong and they overwhelm our mind and our hearts and we lack a peace. But Christ gives us the peace even in that temptation. Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that he himself, Jesus himself, hath suffered being tempted, he was tempted, so that he is able to succor or to help and bring aid to those who are tempted." Do you realize that when you're in the throes of temptation, you can go to Christ because he will help you and he can help you because he experienced it himself? He was directly tempted by the devil. We are indirectly tempted by the devil, but he will give you the grace and the strength to overcome. So often we try to rely on our own efforts to overcome these things, but what we need to do is remember that Jesus is the one who gives us the peace, even inside that temptation. But he also gives us another way to escape, and that's because of Christ. You can pray. You can pray. That's what we need to do in the throes of temptation, is pray. Again, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So we know that about Christ, but what does that have to do with us? He says in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm tempted, and when you're tempted, to me that's a time of great need. And doesn't he promise there to give us the grace to help us in that time of need? So when we are in the throes of temptation, remember that through Christ you can have peace in your heart, and through Christ you can go to him and pray and find the help you need in the middle of that temptation. In fact, Jesus himself modeled this in his great prayer in Matthew 6:13 when he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." It's because of Christ we can prevail. You can prevail through the example and the ministry of Christ and even the use of his word. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4 where we see Jesus being directly tempted by the devil. And let's consider how Jesus himself combated the devil in dealing with those temptations. Matthew chapter 4, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 11. What does Jesus use over and over and over again to combat the devil with the temptations he faced? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. See, it's because of Christ and his testimony and his ministry and example for us, we can prevail as well. He gives us his word. He gives us this book. He gives us the word of life. The word that proceeds out of the mouth of God to be able to feast on, to be able to work in our own hearts, and also to be able to combat the devil and those temptations themselves. This is how we can triumph over temptation. We need to first remember that there is a strength to it. And sometimes the strength of temptation can feel very strong and very hard. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we know that the source of temptation is not the Lord. It's the devil in our own flesh. Never forget what John writes in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God is greater than these temptations. Is there a sensitivity to temptation in your life as a Christian? If you're a child of God, you need to take sin seriously, and I need to take it seriously. But when we are facing temptation, and we will every single day of our life, we must remember that there is a way to escape. There is a resolution. There is a solution for that temptation, and that is Christ. Christ Jesus is always our way to escape. So, as the song goes, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue, looking ever to Jesus, because he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that in the life of the children of Israel, we have seen that you also made a way to escape for them. Every single time, Lord, even when they yielded to that temptation, even when they sinned, you still provided them a way to escape. You put up the brazen serpent in the wilderness so that they could look and live. You sent Aaron with a censer to stand between the dead and the living. You sent Phinehas to drive through the offending sinner, and through his zeal, you stopped the plague. Lord, in all of these things, they are pictures of what Jesus has done for us. Not just for our sin, but even in the midst of our sin. Even, Lord, when we're facing temptations, and those temptations feel so strong, Lord, help us to look to him. To look to Jesus. To realize that he is our way to escape. That, Lord, he is the one who will strengthen us and empower us and cause us to prevail and triumph and overcome those temptations. And, Lord, we know, each one of us knows, that we're going to face them. And help us not to be too proud to think that we can handle it, we can lick it on our own, because let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Lord, help us not to become the illustrations like the children of Israel became. Instead, Lord, I pray that we will follow after your truth and follow after your great example. The example of our Savior, even in the middle of a direct temptation from the devil there in the wilderness. So, Lord, I pray that we will remember that Jesus is the one who prevailed over temptation and sin for us. Jesus is the one who is our high priest, who has paved the way for us to pray in the middle of those temptations, who wants to help us and strengthen us. And thank you, Lord, that it is through Jesus Christ that we are able, through his word and the word of this book, to be able to handle and to deal with those temptations whenever we face them, no matter what kind of temptation it is. And so, Lord, I pray that when we face temptation today, that we will look to Jesus and live. That we will go to you to help, to find help, the grace to help in time of those needs. Help us, Lord, to triumph over that temptation. Help us, Lord, to maintain a sensitivity to that sin. And help us, Lord, to grow in our love and appreciation and our trust in You, knowing that You are able and You are enough. You are sufficient to help us with these things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.